each day on Shattering Myths. We prove that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, that they have become counterproductive. I am Yada. Our number, if you would like to challenge this claim or join us in a discussion of the reasons we have come to these conclusions, is toll-free 877-300-7645. Scott, you stumbled across something yesterday at the culmination of our program that I thought we would lead with today.
Yeah, I want to lead with something. I know the article you're talking about. I want to lead with something else. Look, something for you to listen to
here. Related to this topic.
It is. And ready?
Well, I'm ready.
This is our president.
I've got my coffee. I'm ready to go.
Okay. This is a 34-second clip. Here we go.
People don't remember. When I came into office, the United States, in world opinion, ranked below China and just barely above Russia. And today, once again, the United States is the most respected country on earth. And part of that, I think, is because of the work that we did to re-engage the world and say that we want to work with you as partners with mutual interests and mutual respect. It's on that basis that we were able to end two wars while still focusing on the very real threat of terrorism.
Oh, my God.
I told you it was comical.
Oh, my God. You know, here's a guy that was talking about how he was going to, I mean, he is such a piece of crap. It's just amazing that a majority of voters selected him as their president, not once but twice. But he promised to reset his relationship with Russia and mocked the way that George Bush dealt with Putin. And now our relationship with Russia is the worst it has ever been. And that's a problem because they have the world's second most effective military. And we are tormenting them and antagonizing them in every possible way through the Obama administration. He has all but declared war on China. He has positioned our military so that its principal foe is China. He is tweaking China's nose almost on a daily basis. He has done everything he can to demean China and to lash out against China and position our military against them. China has grown to the world's largest manufacturer while United States has lost that crown for the first time in nearly two centuries.
Not to mention that he does all this while he abandons Israel, our one ally in the middle.
Well, that'll make you popular in the world, abandoning Israel. No question about that. It'll make you unpopular with God, but popular with the world. And on top of all that, he was the president during this entire NSA scandal, where the United States was viewed as a complete as a house that had lost its moral fiber, as a country that had completely lost its way. But it's not just the NSA, and that we were using the NSA to spy on quote-unquote our friends. It was during this time that it was announced that America's CIA was engaged in not only torture, but that the torture was perverted sexually. And that we did this with approval of the President of the United States, with the National Security Advisor. And after all of that, he says we are the most respected country on earth. Yeah, and whose warped mind?
So, and that ties me into the next this article that I found.
We must be really running against some ugly dames. That just if we're viewed as the most beautiful, can you imagine how ugly the rest of the world is?
So I ran across The Guardian, TheGuardian.com.
All right, but before you go to The Guardian article, could you just one thing? IQ Arvasuli, he's been on vacation the last 2 weeks. He'll be back this Friday. With us. You know where he's been on vacation?
No idea.
He says that he wanted to find out for himself why Muslims hated Israel so much. And so he said, you know, I've been all over the Islamic world. I'm going to go to Israel. I want to see what it's like. He says that he's lived all around the world, the United States, throughout Europe, the Middle East, you know, on and on. He says he's never been in a place more vibrant, more exciting, better educated, freer, more alive than Israel. He says it literally was overwhelming in terms of the intellect and spirit, attitude, industriousness, and intellect of the place. He says, I've never been more stimulated. He says, I don't even have words to describe how much better Israel is than any other place I've ever been.
Wow. That's a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, from a former Muslim.
Yeah, true, yeah.
Yeah, and he's an Arab.
So is it jealousy?
So, all right. So we have the Obaminator talking about how he has lifted the prestige of America while we have revealed that America at the highest levels engaged in torture, that America was spying on its own citizens, their cell phones, their internet use. We've announced that America is flying, the FBI is flying an Air Force to spy on Americans, that the NSA was spying on our friends abroad.
Yep.
We have engaged in nothing but failed wars, and the war that we engaged in Iraq turned out to be such a disaster that we broke that country and turned the entire region into the most savage war that's been experienced on our planet for, well, better part of 70 years. And we're solely responsible for that. And yet he wants us to believe that his leadership has turned America into something that we ought to revere and respect.
Yeah. Yeah. But yet, with all that said, it is The Guardian, a UK paper that came out with this story that you're not seeing in any of the major
U.S. stories.
U.S. stories. So, The Guardian view on surveillance after Snowden and outlaw rewrites the law. Many called him a traitor, but now Capitol Hill has felt moved to act on truths that Edward Snowden exposed. The whole point of the article is that they're saying that he's still in exile. He's still sitting in Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that
still labeled a traitor and a criminal by the President of the United States, by the State Department, and by Senator John McClown.
Yep, and he knows that if he ever comes back to the West, he's going to, at the best, he winds up in jail.
He has zero chance of a fair trial in America.
Yep, at best, he winds up in jail. At worst, he's killed. So he's the one that sparked the whole global debate.
Right.
And the whole article.
And the debate's been, I mean, the debate was just closed in the United States. The president and Congress have both acknowledged that the NSA was acting in an unconstitutional fashion and that it was inappropriate to engage in search and seizure of private information without a court order or without probable cause. And so it was and it was proven the NSA was perjuring itself, its leaders lying to Congress. So everything that Snowden revealed, the U.S. government has now acknowledged
was
that needed to be revealed because it was wrong.
But yet he still remains a criminal.
So how is it that the person who has the wisdom and courage to expose a gargantuan problem in America, one of the greatest departures of civility in probably American history. I mean, it could rank up there as the most egregious and unconstitutional act by the U.S. government in its entire history, depriving Americans of their freedom and their privacy. That how is it that the man who revealed this, now that it's been acknowledged as being wrong to have done so.
And he revealed it through The Guardian. The Guardian was the one that broke the story.
And he is in exile, labeled a criminal and traitor, and yet the people who just reined the NSA in are considered law-abiding leaders whom we should respect. And it's not a single U.S. periodical, not a single U.S. military or media outlet that picked up on that connection. The perspective
It's been 2 years.
Came from The Guardian in the UK.
It's been 2 years as well since they first came out with the, since the whole Snowden thing's been going on.
Yeah.
So
and nobody, and no one has had the decency to say, man, we ought to be acknowledging him as a hero. As a man who actually deserves the title hero.
Well,
as a man who served his country, sacrificed mightily on behalf of his country, gave his country the ultimate gift.
Well, how the story, the whole story is about how the rest of Europe has reacted to the NSA stuff. They've all made various, they've taken various steps to shield themselves from the United States.
Including no longer engaging in business with America's leading technology companies. I mean, America doesn't have much left that we can sell to the world, but our technology, whether it be Google, Microsoft, IBM, Hewlett Packard, these were companies, Apple, that we could at least compete intellectually in business internationally.
Yep.
And almost all of these foreign countries don't even allow American companies to bid on projects because the U.S. government has forced the U.S. companies not only to give them all access, but even the hard drive companies, the companies making your hard drives for all your computers, they forced them to allow the U.S. government to put, to design those hard drives so that when the U.S. government pinged those computers, all access to those computers was given to the U.S. government. And so who wants to deal with any American company? Why would you want to deal with Seagate as a hard drive company, knowing for certain that they have set their own access to your computer? Now, if you're a European country, do you want the United States NSA to have access to every computer that's engaged in your government?
Well, I'm an American citizen, and I don't want that.
I don't want that, no. So why would they want it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just pathetic. We have become a Gestapo nation. And I would say that the Gestapo label may be too kind when applied to America.
Statement? We're delusional at the top.
We're delusional.
We're delusional at the top.
Megalomaniac and delusional. Megalomania. That's what we have become. And wholly and completely delusional. We've lost our way. We have no moral compass. Scott, you were a little bit concerned that the President of the United States, who is known to lie every time he opens his mouth, might have misrepresented the position of the United States and exaggerated his achievement. And so when you looked up world's most reputable countries, what you found is that Forbes magazine is a leader in doing these kinds of rankings and analysis. And their most recent analysis doesn't show the U.S. of A. as numero uno, does it? We're not number two either, are we? Well, okay, we're not in the top five. We're not in the top 10. We're not even in the top 20. Okay. So we are ranked number 22. Okay. So the Abominator was off on his national rankings by 21 places. Okay. So now then, why don't you share with our listeners some of the countries that are highly ranked above the U.S. of A., the Abomination. Yeah, the reason I think that Switzerland is ranked high is that Switzerland just doesn't have it actually right.
Yeah, Switzerland.
Yeah, Switzerland they're not trying to decide in the Ukraine as to which side is right, or as the case of our program, how both sides are wrong. They're not really don't really much care how the Greece thing winds up. They're kind of in their own thing, you know, and so they're not belligerently trying to invade other countries.
Yeah.
They don't have a massive military, you know.
So, yeah.
Okay, so
Canada's
Switzerland.
Number two.
By the way, have you ever been to Switzerland?
I've never been to Switzerland.
No, okay. No. Switzerland is beautiful from a topography point of view, as you might imagine. It's in the Alps. It's gorgeous. One of the things about Switzerland, though, is that they must have a law for everything. I mean, I swear, if you want to fly fish, you can only fly fish on the western bank of a stream on Fridays, and only with catch and release for 3 weeks out of the year. You know, they curb their cows. I mean, you can't even be a cow and step across a ribboned line. I have never seen a country with more rules. I mean, I could no more survive, and I like to visit Switzerland, but I could no more live there in the man in the moon. I mean, they have rules for everything. That's rules gone amok there. Okay, so Switzerland's number one.
Here's a country I have been to. Number two is Canada.
America's hat. You know why Canada is number two? Is that they have recently established governments that are closer to being willing to call a spade a spade than others. Now, it's not great. They still lie about the nature of Islam and the threat of Islam, and they do have hate speech rules. I'm a criminal in Canada for having told the truth on a radio program. So the truth is not an alibi when being accused of hate speech.
Well, give it time.
You read from the Quran, you'd be accused of hate speech as I did. All right, so America's hat.
Well, give it time. We'll probably get criminals here in a matter of time.
No, just a matter of time. Yeah, they'll change the laws, and I'll be a criminal here. Yeah.
So, and then you can run into the usuals. You got, Australia, New Zealand. They're in the top 10. The Netherlands.
And I think we've talked about it in this program. If I could get my family to move with me, I would move to New Zealand in a heartbeat. And my second choice would probably be Australia in terms of wonderful places to live. So, New Zealand gets my nod, and then Australia would be a close second.
Okay. So they're top 10. And then we have the entire Axis powers of World War II.
You didn't list all 10 countries that were in the top.
No, I didn't list
all 10. Well, there are a few others that are ahead of the United States.
Oh, well, you got Sweden, Finland, they're top 5, Norway, Denmark, pretty much every country.
Yeah, I love those Baltic countries. I mean, they are really, really aesthetically beautiful. Yeah, gosh, I mean, wow. You go to the Baltic, I mean, it's, I don't like the long winters up there. I wouldn't choose to live there, and they're a little, they're all way too socialistic for me. But, beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Okay. So, then what do you have?
Well, then we hit in the next 10, you have the entire Axis powers of World War II. Germany, Japan, even Italy is in there.
you know, if Italy is ahead of you, you're in really serious trouble. I don't know if you watched the Amanda Cox trial, but I might tell you, you don't want to be accused of a crime in Italy. So we found that the megalomaniac, the abominator, misled his audience when he says, hey, remember when the old United States, when we had a bad reputation, we were no longer numero uno, but thanks to my guidance, thanks to my leadership, thanks to me resetting relations with the rest of the world, now we're numero uno, most respected nation on earth. Well, we're now through about 15 nations that are more respected than the United States. We sit in at number 22. You've just listed the Axis powers, Germany, Italy, and Japan, as ahead of the United States. I ask you, who won World War II? Obviously, it's Germany, Italy, and Japan as the Axis powers. Okay, who's after that?
Well, then you get Germany came in at 10, Japan was 14, Italy was 16. Mm-hmm. At 11, you have Austria, Belgium, Ireland.
Austria is also part of the Axis powers. Okay, go ahead.
Austria, Belgium, Ireland. The United Kingdom comes in at 15, in between Japan.
Can you imagine Ireland? Ireland announced a couple of years back,
by the way,
that the Roman Catholic Church, which is dominant in Ireland, had sadistically tortured and sexually harassed 30,000 young boys and girls. And that country is ahead of the United States. Boy, on the respect scale, that's not so good. You got France in that list too, don't you?
Number 8 through 15 are all within 6 points, six of the ranking points. So they're okay. They're all right in that same area.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. France is at 17. Spain is at 18.
France is in a downward death spiral economically. Spain is absolutely bankrupt. Spain is right there with half a breath behind Greece and Italy in terms of being bankrupt.
So
okay,
now I'm...
I think you even got Portugal somewhere in that list too, and Portugal is even is about neck and neck with Spain in terms of being a debtor nation.
I was just going to say Portugal is at number 19. This
okay.
we are
it's
now
better
within,
than the United States. Huh?
We are now within okay. 6 points of the United
Can
States.
Can you imagine the United States is trailing Portugal in world respect?
The three directly in front of the United States are Portugal, Singapore, and Brazil.
Brazil, boy. Did you see the World Cup and to see just how impoverished Brazil is? How serious the crime problem is in Brazil, where if you go two blocks in the wrong direction in any metropolitan area in Brazil, you're as good as dead.
So the way when I went through this list, the way that I see mm-hmm. it is that if you're within 6 points, those are probably your comparable ones. People that
yeah, plus and minus 10% in terms of the respect relationship. So who are our compatriots?
Here are the countries that we are within 6 points, or they were within 6 points of us.
Okay.
Portugal, Singapore, Brazil,
mm-hmm.
The Czech Republic, Poland.
The Czech Republic is a country that grew out of the explosion of Czechoslovakia. Czechoslovakia and Yugoslavia were both sliced into little pieces, and so the Czech Republic isn't old enough as a country to even have a reputation. Okay. What was the next one?
Poland, Thailand, Argentina.
Poland! Poland! For crying out. Man, I've been to Poland. And, Poland was a mess before World War II. It's a mess now. Oh, good grief. Poland was the one of the countries that, in all fairness, Poland was abused by Hitler and by the Bush family, George Herbert Walker Bush and Prescott Bush et al. Abused by the Bush family, and the concentration camps like Auschwitz are just inhuman. And what they did, the Germans did to Warsaw is unfathomable. And the Russians were more abusive to Poland than even the Germans were. But Poland is so far behind the curve. Whether Poland ever recovers from what it endured under the Germans and then the Russians, I don't know. I don't know if it'll ever recover. And it's hugely influenced by Roman Catholicism. And it's had the three whammies. It's had the full blunt of fascism, the full hit of communism, and still is suffocating under Roman Catholicism.
Well, careful, they're only a point behind us. So.
Wow. But if you're being compared to Poland, I'm telling you, you're in trouble. Okay, what's next?
So... Now, again, none of these countries, every one of these that I go down, you could probably give like a 5-minute mm-hmm. talk about like...
But you're telling me don't do that, huh?
I'm telling you don't do that.
Okay.
So we have Thailand.
Thailand, okay.
Argentina.
Thailand, and I'm going to bust your bubble here. But Thailand is the Sodom and Gomorrah of today's world. It is... Bangkok is probably... more infected morally and with STDs than any country on earth. Any act of depravity, from bestiality to even worse, I guess there is worse than bestiality. If you've got an appetite for it, Thailand's the place you'd go. So when Thailand's ahead of you, on respect. Well, and it's the most morally decadent place on earth. That's not good. Okay, what's after Thailand?
Thailand's behind us.
Okay, well, yeah, by a smidge.
Poland and Thailand are all behind us by roughly a point. Then you go Argentina, Peru.
1%. Argentina, which has an economic meltdown and devalues their currency and has a coup politically every decade or so just for drill. And they get runaway inflation, and then they completely devalue their currency. And then they have dictatorships that turn into... freely elected governments, and they go through this cycle. Now, Argentina, about 20 years ago, was in the top five economies in the world, and you know now it's not in the top 20. So, for Argentina to be in your class, that's not good.
Yep, Peru, Malaysia, and Taiwan, all up in six.
I've spent a lot of time in Peru. And I would say it's a beautiful country from a topography point of view. But if you're being compared in terms of respect to Peru, that's not good.
Oh, it gets better.
Okay.
So then you have Taiwan, Chile, and then Greece.
Now, I happen to like Taiwan. I'm going to say, all right, Taiwan I'm okay with. I like Chile. I mean, I think that... That Chile is a beautiful place, beautiful people. It would be among the. I mean, I did a lot of business in Taiwan, and I would tell you that that you do business with a Taiwanese businessman or businesswoman, and you shake hands with them. You don't need a paper. You don't need any document to sign or to quantify that agreement. Their word is their bond. Those are good people, and I've only got good things to say about Chile. What was after Chile?
Greece.
Greece.
Yes.
Greece. This is bankrupt Greece. Greece that has 25% unemployment. This is the Greece that said we're going to welch on all of our debt, that we're not going to pay anybody back, that has a communist prime minister now, that has that won on the basis of we're not going to pay our debt to the world. You loaned us the money. We begged for it. We promised that we would pay it back. But now that we've got your money, we're not going to pay it back. But by the way, you need to give us more money. That Greece?
Yeah, the Greece that's only four points behind us.
Yeah. You know, by the way, Greece is not significantly more in debt than the United States. From an aggregate amount, the United States is infinitely, almost infinitely. I mean, it's by a magnitude of 10 times more in debt than Greece. But from a percentage of GDP, we're the second most indebted nation on earth, the United States. So financially, we're not very different than Greece. So Greece is as part of our class.
Yep.
Who else do you have?
We have four more here. We have South Africa.
South Africa that overthrew the apartheid government only to get an African government that's more racist than the Dutch Afrikaans government that it overthrew. That the government that routinely sanctions stealing people's property, that has rampant terrorism where African on African violence is just out of control. It's called the necklace of shame, where they put a tire soaked in gasoline over an individual's neck that is incapacitated, and they're burned alive. That South Africa is part of the group that we're being compared to. Well, that's well.
They're right in there. Yeah, they're on the. They're 10 ranks behind us, but they're only 5 points behind us.
Okay.
So, 5%.
Uh-huh. Within 10%, uh-huh.
And then you have the Philippines.
The Philippines. Another place that's beautiful to visit. But that's a country being torn apart. You know, half of it's Roman Catholic. The other half is Muslim. It's not quite half and half. It's probably 80-20. But in a country that has been rife with all manner of corruption.
And then we get into the human rights, pillar of human rights, Qatar.
Qatar, the primary gun runner of the world, the principal financier and the principal the provider of arms to fundamentalist Islamic jihadist groups. They are the ones that provided the arms to turn Libya into a terror state. They're the ones that supplied the arms to turn Syria into a killing field. They are the primary arms merchants of the world. They're the nation that bribed the FIFA that brought up these corruption charges in the World Cup in terms of soccer. They're the nation. How many people have died trying to build their stadiums?
I think it was 2,500. I think that's all I saw.
And that's hard to believe, but okay. Wow.
So,
Qatar is the merchant of death for the world. It's a despicable country, but that's part of the group that we're being compared to.
Before,
congratulations, Obama. You are really my hero.
Before the next big drop-off, before people start falling off way far, much farther, the last one is United Arab Emirates.
Which is, it has no freedoms of any kind. Total dictatorship. It's a personal fiefdom. Just like Qatar. Qatar is, you have no political rights. You have no freedom of expression. You have no freedom of dissent. It's a personal fiefdom. Your religion is either Islam or you have, you're treated like an animal. Great. Oh, we should be so proud.
So there we go.
There we go. So the Abominator misspoke.
By a lot, yeah.
And rather than touting his great success, he ought to be apologizing to the American people.
Well, I guess I'd have to look and see where we ranked 7 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever it was. Because technically we could have been way, way lower. I don't know, but... But no, we're not being compared to very favorable.
Yeah, people. I doubt it. I mean, you look at the things that have been announced. The NSA spying fiasco. The CIA torturing fiasco. The ultimate fiasco, our invasion of Iraq, turning the Middle East into a war zone. Our failures in Afghanistan. Our failures in Libya. Our attacks on Russia and China. You know, while we were... reminiscing about America's fall to number 22 in the world. This is
you
from...
You
got to
say the best 22 in the world.
Okay, we are the best number 22 in the world. Deputy Secretary of State Antony Blinken, B-L-I-N-K-E-N, Blinken, told France Interradio that more than 10,000 Islamic State fighters have been killed since the international coalition began its campaign against the group in Iraq and Syria. You know, when we began this, the best estimates by the CIA was that there were between 10 and 20,000 members of the Islamic State. And now we claim to have killed 10,000 of them. I mean, that's wiping out either 100% of them or 50% of them in the past few months. And yet, what has happened in those past 4 to 6 months. What's happened? Have the Islamic State lost any battle? Have they lost any ground? Have they lost any territory? Or have they consistently gained territory, like the entire Anbar province?
As far as I know, they've only gained. And they've only gained.
And they've held on to every gain, and they continue to gain. So would you say that if the United States is bragging, we are really good killers. We've killed 10,000 of them. We're not at war with them now. We're not at war with Islam, but we've killed 10,000 of those Muslims while not being at war with Islam. Would you say that it's been productive or counterproductive to bomb them?
Counterproductive.
How many times have I said you cannot win a war against Islam with bullets and bombs? You can't win a war against any religion with bullets and bombs.
Ever since I've known you.
Yeah. So what have we proved? We're announcing that we've killed 10,000 of them. And yet, we've increased their numbers probably tenfold. We've increased the armaments that they have in their possession. We've increased the amount of territory that they have under their control. We've increased their popularity. We've increased the status of the Islamic State in every possible way while using bullets and bombs to kill 10,000 of them. Isn't it exactly what I said was going to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Deputy Secretary of State says it will end up having an impact. But he warned that the Islamic State remained resilient and capable of taking the initiative. Well, no kidding, Sherlock. He spoke of the after the coalition met in Paris to discuss the strategy in Iraq. Representatives backed Iraqi Prime Minister al-Abadi's plan to retake the city of Ramadi. Guess who he's deploying to retake the city of Ramadi? Guess who is leading the charge? The head of Iran's military. Guess who he's deploying? Iranian troops. The backup to the Iranian troops is Shiite religious militias. And you know why they were the Islamic State were able to take Ramadi? It's because the U.S. Armed forces in Iraq, which were entirely Shiite, were bombing the living bejesus out of them. And so they reacted and said, the hell with you. And because now in Iraq, after America broke it, Sunnis have no rights. They can't even flee as refugees. And yet, the world powers are backing this Shiite leader's assault on the Sunni city. Can you imagine the carnage that the Iranians are going to inflict on those Sunnis? And we're backing it. We're arming it. We're enabling it. They also called for a speedy launch of the efforts to pummel the Sunnis in the Anbar province. In his interview with France Inter on Wednesday, Mr. Blinken insisted that the coalition campaign had not been a failure. Had not been a failure. If your goal was to eliminate, and that was the statement by the Abominator, we're not just going to stop the Islamic State, we're going to eliminate them. If, as a direct result of you flying thousands of bombing missions, you had increased their territory, increased their size, increased their armaments, increased their popularity, increased them and enhanced them in every possible way, how would you keep from calling that a failure? How would you define failure if you got the opposite of what you sought to achieve on every possible criterion?
We aren't capable of describing failure anymore. We don't even know what it is. We're